Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tampa Bay Lightning open the season to defend their Stanley Cup against the Chicago Blackhawks tonight. What can we expect with no Nikita Kucherov this season? Who will be the emerging star for the Bolts? And is this Alabama football team the best in college football history? And we'll get a victory lap from Tom Jones. That's right, my former radio partner, longtime columnist of the Tampa Bay Times, now with the Poynter Institute, on this edition of Sports Day Tampa Bay. I'm Rick Stroud of the Tampa Bay Times, along with producer Steve Versnick. Before we talk to Tommy here in just a second, some news on the coaching front, on the Bucks front, as a matter of fact. Todd Bowles, their defensive coordinator, already on the docket to interview with the Lions and the Atlanta Falcons, will now get an interview with the Philadelphia Eagles because they fired their coach, Doug Peterson. So that's three interviews for head coaching spots from Todd Bowles. I'm starting to get the feeling that maybe Todd Bowles isn't going to be back next year. But he's certainly in demand. He's done a good job. I think, you know, even though he's been a head coach, his 24-40 record, whatever it is, isn't very good. I think people recognize that he's a pretty good developer of talent and getting a lot of looks. I mean, there's a bunch of jobs available, and the Eagles job wasn't one that people necessarily saw coming open. But Doug Peterson had some rifts, I guess, some disagreements with his owner Jeffrey Lurie, and maybe it's over the quarterback. Who knows? But Todd Bowles has spent some time in Philadelphia. He was a player at Temple under Bruce Arians, who was the head coach there at that time. So, not a city that's unfamiliar with him or him unfamiliar with it. So it's going to be interesting to see if he lands this job. We haven't heard any interview request yet for someone like Byron Leftwich, but that would certainly Bowles would take a bite out of their coaching staff. But this is what Bruce Arians does. He hopes that these guys are in a position to, you know, to get a second shot or a first shot at a head coaching position. And, you know, somebody asked me the other day, you know, what about him preparing? How can you do these interviews and still prepare, you know, for Sunday's game against, you know, the playoff game? And I guess the question is that, you know, he knows the New Orleans Saints. They played them twice already. They have an extra day because they played Saturday. So what Bowles will do is use the extra day that he would normally maybe start to look at film or start to talk to other coaches and just use that day as an interview day, because these guys have been going at it pretty hard. So I don't think it's going to necessarily affect his preparation, or he's going to be distracted somehow, or he's going to do less preparation. The machine will continue to run. He'll just have to jump on a Zoom call, I guess, with these teams as they interview them virtually. And, you know, we're not talking about, you know, days and days here. We're just talking about one interview. So
Isn't this why they have like 48 coaches on staff?
Yeah, exactly. They've got other guys to. I mean, he is the defensive coordinator, guys to do the scripts and prepare things. And like I said, it's only, you know, as we do this podcast and this news came out, it was only Tuesday, so, or Wednesday, I guess. Is it Tuesday? It's Tuesday, yeah. Mm-hmm. As we do it for Wednesday's podcast. So,
well, one of the advantages of the Zoom calls is you don't have to go travel to the city anymore for interviews, or even them come to you. It's, you know, it's a little more. Mm-hmm. Probably time efficient in that regard. Maybe it's not as effective as an interview because you'd rather be in person, but it does from a time efficiency standpoint can become easier.
And a lot of these organizations too, what they want is for you to evaluate them. They want you to say, hey, you know, and if you played them, it's easier. They didn't play the Eagles this year, but if you play them, it's a lot easier. But you can say, hey, you know, here's where I think you guys were strong. Here's where we would attack you. You know, here's what we, you know, you need to focus on developing these kind of players or this guy. And, you know, a lot of times, even if they're not going to hire you, they love the information. They love to get another pair of eyes on their product and sort of get ideas about where they should go. And, again, you know, he's a legitimate candidate, but just because you interview doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to get the job. He's got another year on his contract with the Bucks. I'm sure they'd love to have him back. But he's getting an awful lot of run, and you know, and he deserves it because he's done a heck of a job with that defense and developing young players. You know, whether it's Antoine Winfield Jr. or you know, a couple years with Devin White. I mean, he's really
Carlton
done,
Davis has really improved.
Yeah, Carlton Davis, Sean Murphy Bunting. I mean, there's a lot of young players in a short time that he's brought a pretty good ways. And even Shaq Barrett took off in his defensive year and ended up leading the league. Vita Vea, yeah. So good eye for talent, good teacher, good developer. Of course, head coach is different than coordinator. We all know that. And he failed in his first try, but that was with the Jets, who were dysfunctional. So I think a lot of people recognize that very, very few coaches win up there. So good luck to Todd Bowles for sure. All right, Tom Jones joins us now. And Tommy, the long-awaited, I don't know what this offseason feels like. It was forever. Finally, the Lightning are back in action. They open the regular season tonight against the Chicago Blackhawks. I couldn't be more excited in defense of their Stanley Cup championship. They may raise the banner. I'm not sure. There's a bunch of little banners going on all over the city. There's not going to be any fans there. How excited are you for the Bolts to defend their title?
Can I say not super excited about it?
You can say whatever you want.
You know, it's so weird that it feels like it kind of snuck up on us. And I know it's been a minute since they've played and they won the Stanley Cup. But
like, see, that doesn't feel like that to me. I mean, you said something to me the other day, like the time off has been almost what it would be in a regular, you know, cycle of June to whatever, right? October.
Yeah. It just feels like time makes no sense anymore anyway, right?
That's true.
It's like January. They're starting a season in January, and it feels like it's quick. I don't know if it's the short preseason, like actually no preseason.
No games, right.
10 days of camp, right? And just bam, here we go. But it's almost catching you by surprise. At least, there hasn't been any games on TV. I don't know. The whole thing just feels weird, doesn't it?
Totally. I know they've had some time off. It doesn't feel like very much to me. And the fact that, you know, the other thing is, and this is tragic. I mean, with what's going on with COVID, they've had to, shut Amalie Arena down for Raptors games and for the Lightning until at least February 5th. So once again, they'll be playing with no fans. You know, we're sort of becoming used to these antiseptic arenas and stadiums. But no one's actually gotten to sort of, you know, embrace the team. I mean, I know they had the parade and there was probably way too much social interaction with some of that going on. But at the end of the day, it's like you don't really feel like you got to celebrate anything with them if you're a Bolts fan. And now you don't get to watch them raise the banner in the arena. I mean, it's just kind of weird to me. But here's the thing that I wanted to ask you about, because you've covered a lot of teams and you've been around hockey and other sports, obviously, for a long time. There's something about being the defending champions, and you know, the franchises, like this franchise has been in the mix. We've talked about all the times they've gone to Eastern Conference Finals, Stanley Cup, all that, and they finally won it, right? I mean, this group. They won it in 04, but this group, John Cooper's group. And yet, you're not, how do I say this? You're not really validated per se until you win several. Now, that sounds greedy, I know, but there's something about anybody can win once.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Really, you know, I know what you're getting at. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know that that's fair. Like, it feels like a few years ago, Nashville won. Is Nashville going to win again? What happened to that Nashville team, right? Like,
with any sport, you're right, Rick. But the thing with the Lightning is we've been waiting for what it wasn't like a. Like this championship came out of nowhere.
No,
like
that's true. It's
building
been 10
up
years.
For this thing. Yeah, I mean, it feels like certainly since 2015 under Cooper when they started making the playoffs and they went to finals and conference finals and they were favored and they won president's trophies and it feels like this past cup should have been like their second or third. Even though win and one is a great accomplishment and really hard to do. But you're right. I think there is something about winning a couple to really make your mark as you're an elite team, and this has been, they like to consider themselves an elite franchise. Here's the way it could go, Rick. It could go one of two ways, and you've seen this before. You saw it with the Bucks. We've seen it with a lot of teams that win championships. Is it can go one of two ways. When you have a team like the Lightning that's supposed to win year after year after year, and they come up short, and they get swept out of the playoffs in the first round like they did to Columbus, they could once they win it, that could be the breakthrough. Now, here they go. They're going to win three in the next 5 years or whatever. Or... did they get fat? You know, they get fat and they turn into the Washington Capitals, who partied all summer long, and you know, they had a good season, the Caps did, the next year, but ultimately got knocked out pretty early in the playoffs. So which way do they go? I happen to have a sense of, I think they're going to play relaxed hockey, and I think they're going to be tough to beat because of that. I think they know they're good. They're a really good franchise. They're a really good team. They have an elite goaltender. As long as everybody else stays healthy, I think they're going to be. I think that weight of not winning is now gone, and I think it's going to allow them to succeed even more. That's my gut feeling.
It's a good analysis. You could say that, or you could say maybe they lose their edge because the hunger isn't going to be there, right?
Right.
I mean, like, you know, you were coming off just what was a cataclysmic. You said it. You said it this time a year ago. Actually, before this time a year ago, they started
before the season. Right.
Yeah, you said that. You know, Rick, I don't care what they do in the regular season. Wake me up when they get to the playoffs. It doesn't matter. Everything they do until they get back in the playoffs and win a Stanley Cup, nothing else matters. And it was really, you know, we talk about the Bucks, but this is really the way for the Tampa Bay Lightning was, you know, Stanley Cup or bust. I mean, that was it. That was the whole thing. And that's what made them winning so remarkable, is that they did it. They literally pulled that off, like under immense pressure and one of the worst disappointments, not just in hockey history, maybe pro sports history.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, they wore like University of Virginia hats to, you know, to remind them of how Virginia lost to a number 16 seed in the NCAA men's basketball tournament.
Yeah, so it was, and for them to do that is just was incredible. And yet, you know, you load it back up, and the one thing that people have to understand, I think, is that just look at this team, right? It's never the same. Every year in pro sports, you might wear the same sweaters, you might have some core players, but, you know, let's start with the fact that they don't have Nikita Kucherov.
Yeah.
I mean, geez, if you had to throw a dart at a board of roster of players that you'd hope not to eliminate for the season, he'd be one or two, and probably two.
Right.
You know, right after, I would think, Vasilevskiy or Hedman.
Yeah, Vasilevskiy and Hedman, and he's certainly he's your best forward. And I know they have other good ones. Braden Point's a really good player, and you know, Stamkos can. I'm sure they're hoping that he's going to come back healthy. He's not the elite player that he used to be. He's not a tier one player anymore, but he's maybe a tier two player. And they have talent up front. They do have goal scorers. They have guys that can play. But yeah, you're taking your number three hitter out of the lineup for sure. You know, But I do think that Rick, that they're going to go in a little more relaxed, and that weight of having not won is gone. And I actually think that's a benefit to them this time around. The thing they're going to have to combat, Rick, and this is the thing that I think is going to be weird for everybody, is the monotony of the schedule.
Yeah.
And everybody's in their little divisions, and you're not going outside your divisions, and it's just going to be a weird schedule. You're playing the same team two or three games in a row, and you're going to the same city, and you're hanging out for a while. And I don't know. I think it's going to be weird, and it's not, you know, we always talk about how players, teams, particularly in hockey, is that they like when they get away. There's a team bonding experience when they go away.
Right.
Because guys go out. They go out on the road, and they go out to dinner.
You can't do that.
They're
now,
not
going
to be able to do that. Yeah.
But they did. Here's what's interesting, because and I think you – look, I don't know that the NHL is going to be able to pull this off. As we do this podcast, all NBA games have been canceled tonight.
Right.
So COVID is, you know, these teams that like hockey, when they got to the playoffs and the NBA, they were in a bubble. And so their bonding occurred because they couldn't leave it, you know?
Right.
And we saw the Lightning, we saw the videos and them going on to, you know, soccer pitches or whatever they were doing and different things. So they found a way to stay together, and they played, and but now, you know, they scatter and go to parts unknown, go home, go out, go away. I don't know how this is going to work, but you're right. They're not going to have, you know, an opportunity to really do that when they do go on the road and they're in some city for, you know, for 2 days or three. And there is going to be a monotony to playing the same team somewhat over and over and over again. Unfortunately for them, not much has changed since when they lifted the Stanley Cup as far as this country goes. And we're not at the point with vaccinations where they can even have fans there. So there's a lot of, you know, it stands to reason, like every time that Lightning win the Stanley Cup, the next season is weird.
Yeah, exactly.
you know, at least they didn't cancel it yet, but knock on wood.
I think you're right there, Rick. I think it's going to be weird, because the other thing is, when they went into the bubble, both the NBA and the NHL, I think these teams are going to have to overcome some mental issues about playing a long season with no fans or just in this. It's kind of a bubble, but it's not really a bubble, but it's different than a regular season. But the difference was, the NBA went into that bubble and the NHL went into that bubble for a quick burst. It was a sprint. It was a play.
That's right.
It was a few games, then let's play. Boom, playoffs. Here we go. Now this regular season, you're going to play 56 games. It's a lot of games.
Yeah, it is.
And you're back to the norm. And there are highs and lows during the course of an NHL season, with any season, really. But particularly when you get into longer seasons like baseball, football, and hockey, where you're playing a lot of games. And, you know, you have what they call the dog days or whatever, where you just go through stretches where you just mentally can't get into it. Well, I think you're going to have to fight that in this new COVID sports world, you know, where you're going to hit that spot where we're going to Dallas for 5 days, and then we come back and we're going to play Columbus for three games. It's just weird, and I think it's going to take a mentally tough team to be successful in that.
They've got some experienced guys that are used to playing with each other. There's still going to have to be some players emerge, and every year there is. I mean, remember when Braden Point burst onto the scene, and you know, there's been others, Sergachev and others. But is there anybody that you think, or given the fact that Kucherov is out, so somebody has to take his spot on the power play, somebody has to, you know, any of these guys that you kind of saw late last year or you just think have more in the tank than what we've seen from them that might, you know, it's opportunity for somebody that might pick up that scoring slack or might, become more of a household name this year?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that certainly a guy's not going to come out and get 100 points or whatever, like Kucherov was going to get, or average a point a game. I mean, I look at a guy like Blake Coleman, you know, when they brought him in, he was a pretty prolific goal scorer with New Jersey, where he was scoring, you know, 20 goals a year, it seemed like.
Right.
So when he came over to Tampa Bay, I think he's a guy that can
light the lamp, put
the biscuit in the basket. Absolutely. I mean, Braden Point he's close to being like a top,
he's a top tier player in this league now.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, he's probably now their best forward, but they're going to rely on the same things that they've always relied on. I mean, I think Vasilevskiy's going to have to be really good. Hedman's going to have to play a bazillion minutes like he always does. That could be a little bit of a different. I mean, 56 games I'm not sure if they're going to be playing more, you know, if the schedule's that much compact where you're going to have to limit his minutes a little bit or keep an eye on him so you don't wear him out during the course of the season. Sergachev's going to have to take a step up in that role in terms of the blue line. I think they'll be okay. I think they have enough. There's enough there. There's enough talent. I'd be a little more nervous in that other division. We talked about this, but they were in that division with the Islanders and Boston and Philadelphia, Pittsburgh. I'd be a little more nervous than the division here right now. But it's again, Rick, there's few teams. You can't go on any long losing 56 games. It was like the Rays we talked about. You can't afford those. I mean, a 3-game losing streak suddenly like a 6-game losing streak, you know, so you can't afford that.
So it's hard to believe, but like Steven Stamkos is knock on wood, going to load it up again. And, you know, I think he's all of what, 30, 31, something like that at this point.
Feels like he's 48.
He should. He's older than Tom Brady, actually, I think, in hockey years. I'm not really sure, but I think that's the case.
Just because he's been around forever. I mean, he's been here since he was 18.
We've gone through a lot of trials with him, too, you know, personal injuries. And the injuries is a thing, right? So, I mean, some guys, man, you can't explain why they reach a certain point in their career and there's always something happening. But do you have any expectation that Steven Stamkos can, for the most part, make it through this 50-something game season without?
No, why would you? I'm not blaming him.
I'm just hoping. I agree with you. I don't see how this works, man. I don't see how
don't
he went
blame.
From where
I'm not
he was.
Like criticizing him. I'm not saying he's soft. He's far from it. I think he's tough as nails, and I feel bad for him. But he's so beaten up, and it just trouble seems to find him.
It does.
You know, I mean, the guy, because a couple of his he had the messed up knee. He hurt his knee on what seemed like a pretty innocent play when he tore his knee up, That was a bad injury.
Was that the one when he slid into the post?
No, that was the broken leg.
That was a broken leg.
I hadn't gotten to that one yet. The knee injury, which was happened a few years after that. Yeah. But, you know, he's had four major things. This past year where he's had the core injury, and then he had the knee where he tore his ACL and all that. Then he had the blood clot, which, again, that's just bad voodoo. I mean, that's just...
Yeah, that's like an overused thing. They take the rib out. That was bad.
Where, how do you prepare for that? How do you even... Yeah. That's just bad luck. And then the same thing with when he snapped his leg on the goalpost. That's, again, that's a hockey play. It wasn't... None of these are because he's out of shape or because he's not working hard. He's in incredible shape. It's just bad luck, but it seems to find him. And now he's to the point, Rick, where he's got a lot of miles on those tires, you know, and you hope he stays healthy. I do think mentally he's going to be a really refreshed player. There's a weight on a guy when you're a number one overall pick. I mean, you have one expectation. That is, you need to win a Stanley Cup.
That's right.
Same thing with football. You know, if you're the number one quarterback, you're supposed to say you're the franchise. You're supposed to win. And anything short of it is a failure.
Yep.
And he went through it, and he's been through it. And here's the problem, Rick, that he had early for a lot of his career. Not only weren't they winning Stanley Cups while he was here, he was a big reason why they were getting knocked out of playoffs. His stat line. I'm not saying he wasn't playing hard. His stat line looked awful whenever they got eliminated, or he'd have no goals. And you go back to that Chicago series where he was hurt, by the way, in that Stanley Cup Finals. But still, he was basically shut down in that series, and he got shut down when they got lost to the Capitals. And like all these years, they get knocked out, and then he'll go through straight. How many times do we write these stories? I remember writing this column 1,000 times, it felt like. Like, seen Stamkos? Like, no, seriously, have you seen him? Because he disappeared.
He's on a milk carton, Tommy.
Yeah, that's what it felt like. And then he would score a couple goals, and then he'd be everybody like, oh, he finally broke out of it. And then it would go 3 games later, you're talking about, they need him to step up, or he's not scoring, or he's hurt, or whatever.
Yeah.
Now he's won the cup. And even though they won it mostly without him, the fact of the matter is he showed up for one game, scored a huge goal. He's definitely a part. Now his name is on the cup. So all those years ago when they drafted him and they said, you need to lead us to a Stanley Cup, he's now done that. And you wonder if he's going to go back in the next year, or this season, starting tonight, that, okay, you know, now it's not, the rest is gravy now.
Pressure
now
off,
The rest is icing on the cake for me.
Now he's padding stats. So I'm wondering, now that he has the cup, is he all ready, or are there more achievements he needs to be a Hall of Fame hockey player?
I think he's a Hall of Famer. I mean, you have to go back and really look at his stats. I mean, certainly his stats are better than even Marty St. Louis, who, quite frankly, I was a little surprised that Marty got in. I almost compare Marty like a Lynn Swann. Like, if you go back and he just had, like, Lynn Swann. If you look at Lynn Swann's football numbers, or even Joe Namath, they're not like prolific numbers.
No, I mean, and I think you have to consider, though, with football, it's a little different in that, you know, their third down spread offense consisted of one wide receiver, you know, and fullback and two tight ends. I mean, they just didn't throw the ball. I mean, that was the thing about Stallworth and Swann. It's like they got no numbers, and Namaths are terrible. Like, you're like, did this guy ever complete 60%? You know, it's just.
But you mentioned this last week when you talked about when I was on your podcast and we talked about Rondé Barber. With Marty St. Louis and with Lynn Swann.
Signature play.
Moments. That's right. Signature moments.
I still get, listen, forever, and I know he played a couple minutes of the Stanley Cup final. I'm telling you, Tom, that's arguably, you'd say Marty St. Louis, you'd say Evan Longoria, maybe, you know, certainly Rondé Barber returning the interception in Philadelphia. I still think that in its real time, I get goosebumps when I think about what he did, like coming off there and you know.
Who, Stamkos?
Stamkos' slap shot. That was an unbelievable. And then to realize that he was done, like he couldn't play anymore. Yeah. That's all he had.
It's still
incredible.
You know, it's fun to go back. If you go back and you watch that goal and you watch the reaction of the bench,
and
you could tell they were just like over the moon. Like,
they were like, oh my God. Like, that's Hollywood, right? That's why we love sports. You, like, if I wrote that and said, hey, okay, here we're going to do, guys, I want you to, the broken guy is going to come onto the ice with one leg for a couple minutes, and he's going to wrist one from the boards, and it's going in, and then he's done. And they're like, come on.
I know. And, you know, and his teammates knew something that we didn't know at the time.
Oh, they did. They really did. The tragedy.
The personal tragedy.
That his family, yeah.
Yeah, and so I think now the Stamkos approaches the rest of his career, not that he's not going to work hard, not that he's going to get fat. It's house money. That's right. That's exactly right.
Right. I'm gambling with your mortgage. Let's go to Vegas.
Right, because everything, there's no longer the question of can't win a big one. Because he's won the big one. His name's on the cup now, and that's a big deal. I noticed the same thing when I the change in Vinny LeCavier at pre-cup, post-cup. It was
really
striking, yeah.
Looser? Just freer?
More confident, yeah. More swagger, more everything. And he never won another one, but it was, you could tell that it was.
But that's okay, because the you're not chasing. Like, if you never win another one, it doesn't take your name off the cup. You're there.
That's right. That's right. And no one could ever look back and say, great player, but you know what? Mm. Never won a cup. Never won
That's a
cup.
Tough title to wear, is the best best player in anything, not the
best player to never win a major type of thing, you know?
Yeah. So, you don't want to be there. All right. Well, we'll see how the Bolts do against the Blackhawks. And of course, you know, we've got plenty of time to talk about the Bolts season, since I think they, you know, play every other night or so, it would seem.
It feels like it. Yeah.
I don't know if you caught any of this. I just want to mention it a little briefly. I don't know if you know this, but Alabama is the national champion in college football.
What's their nickname again? I forget. Yeah.
I think the Roll Tide. No, the Red Tide. No.
Holy mackerel.
Hats off to Nick Saban. The guy's got 7 national championships, 6 there at Alabama. And couldn't seem less interested to win it. you see the guy. I got to worry about next year.
That's why they win every year.
Yeah, right, but I got to go. I'm going to watch. I'm going to enjoy this. I'm going to have a half a glass of wine, all right? And I'm going to get on 2021, all right? Like, Jesus, Nick, try to let yourself go a little bit. But listen, he it's a machine in Tuscaloosa. They pump out just tremendous talent. This was offensively one of the best teams I've seen, although I would argue that I would like to have seen last year's LSU team with Joe Burrow.
Because, you know, Tiger King, Joe Burrow against anybody would win.
And against this Alabama team, because those two offenses were ridiculous. I didn't think Alabama's defense, this is not the best defense that Nick has had, clearly, because teams rolled up. You know, we saw Florida hang 30-something on them. But pretty convincing and not really a close game, unfortunately, that seems to happen sometimes in these national titles.
But you watched that game, Rick. When you watched that game, did you watch? You watched it, right?
Yes.
I, even though it's not, we all tune in like, oh, we're hoping for a close game. But even as you watch it, just as a football fan, don't you just sit back and admire like how good this
greatness
program is?
Greatness.
How good that team was.
Yeah, and I've talked to Quentin Williams was a defensive tackle that came out in the first round. I think he was drafted 3rd overall a couple years ago from the Jets, and he was out of Alabama, and he came out as a red shirt sophomore and was a he started 1 year. started 1 year and was a top 3 draft pick in the NFL. And I remember talking to him at the combine, and he was saying, "Hey man, you got to understand." It's like, "Well, how did you not start last year?" You know what I mean? And he started naming the guys that were in front of him, and they're all first-round picks around the NFL. And he's like, "Man, I got to be honest with you." He goes, "Like, you know, to start at Alabama, I mean," he goes, "our second and third teams are like, you gotta work your way up just to get close to starting. Like, it's no joke. Like, our practices were way harder than half our games." And you think about it, you're like, "Yeah, you know what? He's right."
I think that's the difference between Alabama and most teams in the country. A lot of people get 5-star recruits.
Sure they do.
You know, there are only so many. I mean, there are only so many roster spots at Alabama. I mean, it gets spread around. Clemson gets good kids. Notre Dame gets good kids. Ohio State gets good. A bunch of schools get good kids. But I think what the difference is Alabama's. Everybody gets hurt, and some guys don't pan out at a lot of places. Alabama's second and third teamers can play. And
absolutely,
that's what happens. When their guys get hurt, we saw what happened the other night when Smith went out of the game. They didn't miss a beat. They kept it. Okay, we'll throw to other guys. No.
Tom, they had a quarterback, Jalen Hurts, that won a national title. They put into a Tagovailoa, and Hurts had to go to Oklahoma.
Right. And Mac Jones was backing both of them up.
I mean, yeah, and Mac Jones was like, "Yo, either one of you guys going to the NFL sometime so I can play?" And
that's he goes what I'm out saying. There and like, lights. They're back. They're like when a guy, like they lost their starting center. this year, you know?
Yeah.
And you wouldn't have noticed a difference. Like, the next guy comes in, and he's an elite player.
Right. It's unbelievable. It's like that, and the players will go there and not go in the transfer portal. You know what I'm saying? Like, they accept the fact that, hey, everybody in front of me is in the NFL. I want to be in the NFL too. They're going to make me better, even when I'm not on television starting, right? I'll get better here every day at Alabama going against these guys. And when it's my turn, I'll be in the NFL and I'll shine and I'll be an All-American, because that's what they do. They develop players. And we were talking about this with Steve the other night. You look at the coaches, right? So it's like it's become the coaching halfway house. Like anybody that's been fired as a head coach that still has a buyout money, Charlie Strong and, you know, Steve Sarkisian came there that way, ended up getting the gig when Lane Kiffin went to Florida
Atlantic. Lane Kiffin was a reclamation project.
He was a total reclamation project. And now Sarkisian goes and he has the best offense and he's going to be the head coach at Texas. And guess who I've heard might be coming? Bill O'Brien.
Yeah, Bill O'Brien's coming in.
I mean, sheesh. You know, it's
Bill
like,
O'Brien will do it for a year, and then when Josh some head McDaniels coaching gets job blown opens out of New England,
he'll go back to Penn State where he belongs.
Yeah, well, it could be. It's amazing. And I just – look, I really admire – I watch them, and I imagine if you're a Ohio State fan, that just killed you the other night. But it's just – I watch Alabama play, and I think everybody knows I'm kind of a Penn State fan. And so when my team – tries some of the plays that Alabama tries. They don't work. But Alabama's like, they threw a ball to Devontae Smith the other day, which just he ran in motion, then ran the other way, and they threw it to him, and he just beat the guy to the corner. And I'm like, how does that play work? I don't get how that play worked. Because when my team does it, it's a 4-yard loss.
Yeah, because your guy runs a 4.6, and that guy runs a 4.25.
But it's like 3rd and 2, they pick up 3 yards. 3rd and 12, they pick up 13 yards.
Yep.
And the guys are wide open.
I know. That's college football, though.
It probably is. But if they play Ohio State again tonight, I think they beat them just as bad again. It's an amazing program to watch.
Yeah, and Devontae Smith's incredible. Like somebody, he's so skinny, though. It's like they're going to break this guy. Like, who's he reminding you of the NFL? But think about the receivers. I mean, Julio Jones, Calvin Ridley. He's kind of got the slippery – like, Calvin Ridley's a slippery receiver. Like, I don't know how to describe it, but, he gets his body in and out of positions. This cat, but man, is he got another gear now. When he wants to go, it's like, see ya.
It's unstoppable. There was nothing they could do to stop him. Like I said, I admire watching it. I know people get bored with it because they win every year, and they'll be back there again next year, I'm sure.
Yep.
And maybe for as long as Nick Saban is there. There's no question he's the greatest college football coach ever, right?
Well, for sure. Well, now, for sure, yeah. It's not even a question. It's 7 national titles, 1 at LSU and 6 at Alabama. He's actually exceeded the greatest college football, what's considered the greatest, in Bear Bryant. I mean, how do you top Bear Bryant?
At his own school, at that school, yeah.
At that same school. No one even talks about the Bear anymore. It's like houndstooth. What's a houndstooth?
Objective, Bear Bryant, you're not even the best. You're the greatest college football ever until you quit, and then now you're not even the best in your program's history.
That's right. Amazing. It's like, geez.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
But hey, St. Nick does it again, so that was fun. Hey, what we're going to talk about, before I get you out of here, I'm going to let you gloat just a little bit, and then I think we might disagree on something.
I'm going to take my victory lap now, right?
On the Pittsburgh Steelers. Ahead.
So I came on your podcast about 6 weeks ago, I think it was.
Check the tape.
Yep. And I said, I think they had 5 regular season games left. And
they were 10-1.
And I said, the Steelers will win one game the rest of the season, including playoffs. And it turns out they won one game the rest of the year, including playoffs. Now, it wasn't the game I thought that they
– I know,
they
didn't but win still.
They actually, I thought they'd beat Cincinnati and lose to everybody else. They actually beat Indianapolis and lost to everybody else. But we knew they were not good, Rick. Even when they were 11-0 or whatever,
they
it was.
Weren't 10-1 good. A 10-0 good. No,
they were 11. I think they were 11-0.
You're right.
And I think I came on. They were 11-1 when I came on.
That's correct.
They had lost, and we were looking at, you know, you could. And I
but still,
maybe,
you
I
said they wouldn't. They would win one more game, and it was like, that's crazy talk, right? They're 11-1, and I got one more game.
And that game the other day, Rick, and this is where we're going to get into. They need something needs to change. Here's the thing that I'll start off by saying this, and I'm a Mike Tomlin fan. I've always been, and the Steelers, one of the pride things, you know, one of the things I'm most proud of. They've had three coaches since 1969, which is amazing. Chuck Knoll, Bill Cowher, Mike Tomlin.
One of the reasons they win, but go ahead.
They don't fire coaches. It's correct.
Nope.
Rick, Mike Tomlin got badly outcoached by a guy who wasn't even in the stadium that day. They came out 28-0 in the first quarter. They looked like they had never – they looked like a team that hadn't practiced in a week, which Cleveland hadn't because they were under all kind of COVID problems. To come out and be down 28-0, you're snapping a ball over people's heads. I'm just talking about the game itself now. They had a fourth down at midfield when you're down and they punt. He's going for one when they should go for
two. That wasn't the best decision. Although
they're going for one when they should go for two. They're going for two when they should go for one. It was like his card. Did he lose the card?
Those are all charts, man.
Did he lose a card?
He lost the card. He
lost the chart, man. He couldn't have. Now, they were never going to win that game. They were never coming back.
Listen, before you just completely, you know, fire Mike T, which is where you're headed.
I'm heading that way, yes.
How about the fact that we go, they were down all those points, and then all of a sudden I looked up and it was a two-score game. It was an 11-point game with, like, the whole fourth quarter to go. How about climbing back into it when you're down 34 to whatever?
I never – you know what it felt like? Did you ever race like a little kid, like when – I'll race you from here to that telephone pole. And you get out such to a big lead, you start running backwards. And then they start catching up a little bit. But
Was running backwards.
Right. Cleveland started running backwards for like the last. And then when they had to turn around and run forward again, they did. And that was the end of the game. But Rick, I'll tell you this. Here's what when it comes to, I think the Pittsburgh Steelers are headed for and I don't want to turn this into a Steelers podcast, but they're about to head for some dark times in Pittsburgh. I think you need, you know what I think the key, I thought about this the other day. Here's the key to being successful in the NFL. You need four things. You need a really good coach. You need a really good quarterback. You need a really good offensive line. And you need a really good defensive line. If you have those four things, you got a chance. Or if you have three of those four.
Do you need anybody to pick players, Tom?
Well, but here's the thing. They don't have an offensive line. It's beat up. It's messed up. Their defensive line's okay. Their front seven or whatever can play. Rick, they got a problem at quarterback. In that AFC North, if I gave you, here's your options moving forward. Baker Mayfield, Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow, Ben Roethlisberger. Which guy don't you want on that list?
Well, look, he's old. I mean, he's played a long time.
He's 1,000 years old, and he looks 2,000 years old.
Yeah, I don't think he's done the TB12 method. I don't think you're going to see
he's
him
not, yeah.
You know, looking anything like Tom Brady when he's 43, and he's still a ways from 43.
And he wasn't awful. Like, he threw for 500 yards there, and I know, again, because Cleveland was running backwards for a while. But they were – and here's the problem. They have no succession plan. They have no way to replace him. He's going to come back. I mean, who are you going to give it to? Mason Rudolph? Like, come on, that guy.
Oh,
that
he's
guy.
Coming back.
He's the Mike,
because
he's the
gonna,
Mike Glennon of
oh, yeah. They're the going to pay him $30 million. I mean, I would play dead for $30 million.
Yeah. And so he's definitely coming back because they got no – unless they were to go out and try to get Matt Stafford or Carson Wentz or Jameis or somebody
But
that.
You're still drafting pretty low because, you know, you nearly made the playoffs.
But, Rick,
let's
get to what I think the where the – you might have to think about it, and that's Mike Tomlin. I think
Now
let me lay it out, and then you tell me why.
It's crazy talk. This is where you lost the audience because you were on a roll. Nostradamus picked the.
Let me just lay it out, and then you tell me why I'm wrong.
Okay.
So, I think the culture's bad. Let's start there. It's a drama filled team every year. It's always drama. They always fall apart in the last 5-6 games of the season. They go from being 11-0 to being 1-done in the playoffs. But here's the thing, Rick. They've won 3 playoff games in the last 10 years. Mm. And the 3 teams that they beat had A.J. McCarron as a quarterback, Alex Smith as a quarterback. By the way, the Steelers didn't even score a touchdown in that game. And the A.J. McCarron game, they needed like Burfict to like lose his mind and commit all kind of penalties to help win that game. And Matt Moore, not the Rays pitcher, the other Matt Moore. Those are the three guys that they've beaten to win playoff games. 3 in 10 years, Rick. I think it's time. I don't fire guys easily. I never called for a guy in Tampa Bay's history to get fired. But I think it might be time.
I thought it was time for you to call for somebody to be fired when you were in that job.
I know.
Name
any of the Three Stooges. Dirk, Greg,
that's right.
Schiano.
Hey, I got to tell you, when I was columnist, I didn't call for anybody to be fired.
My point, though, is I'm not one of those, fire that guy.
Need to go back and rewrite some of those columns. I wish I could get into the system. Yes.
But I'm not a fire. Like, get rid of the guy that – and I'm a big believer in, too, like, don't fire a guy unless you have somebody better in mind. I don't have anybody better in mind. But
there's
I just
always,
think it's –
That's the other fallacy that I argue with you about. He's like, who are you going to get? There's always somebody to get. Somebody didn't, you know, somebody hired Sean McVay when they say, you're going to fire Jeff Fisher? Who are you going to get? Mm-hmm. It was Sean McVay. Hello, McFly. There's guys everywhere around the NFL that are smart. But the dude in Green Bay, he's gone 13-3 2 years in a row or something. I mean.
Right. I like Mike. I think Mike Tomlin's a good coach. I think the expiration date has run out in Pittsburgh.
In Pittsburgh, the expiration date never runs out. They've only had three coaches in like 60 years.
That's true.
So they're the most, you know, and listen, that's part of the reason they win. And it's a large reason why they win. The thing that organizations, we've talked about this, they fall into, because we're right here in Tampa Bay where they do this their entire franchise history. Change the quarterback is the quickest way to never win. Never win. I think continuity is the key in the NFL, whether you're talking about those two positions, and especially at head coach. Now, I'm not saying you keep a guy come hell or high water. But if you recall, Bill Cowher had a lot of losing seasons, 6-10s, 7-9s, right? They never thought of firing him and probably shouldn't have and didn't, and he won Super Bowl. So, you know, yes, has Tomlin – I mean, the thing about Tomlin is, like, you look at his record. If we're just talking about wins, they're out the wazoozie, and he's been to two Super Bowls.
Never losing record during the regular season.
Never had a losing – I mean, that's nothing to sneeze at. It really isn't. Like, people are like, yeah, but how many – no, yeah, but – listen, it's hard to win in this league.
They're relevant. They're a relevant franchise.
Ask John Gruden.
Sure.
But tell you what, man, I lost 3 years in a row. This is last year.
You can't lose every year. And to win 10 games every year like they do – In that division, which, you know, usually Baltimore's really good. Sometimes Cincinnati's okay. Cleveland now all of a sudden has risen from the ashes. So, listen, they've had an iconic quarterback that, believe it or not, at the end it gets bumpy. You know what I mean? Like at the end.
Right.
And here's the thing about winning. And if you look at Tomlin and say never had a losing season on it, here's the other thing. First of all, Mike isn't picking players as far as I know. I don't think
they have a GM. They have a GM, yeah.
Okay, so... So let's start there. The other thing is, when you win that much, it's just the reality. You don't get the elite guys in the draft. You got to find diamond. You know, yeah, you'll get a first round pick, but you're picking like, you know, 28th every year, or 27th or 30th, and so it's not the same player as Joe Burrow going to the Cincinnati Bengals. It's just not. That's why they haven't replaced Ben Roethlisberger. And you know, I don't. I mean, his replacement probably isn't there still, but
no, he's not.
Thing is, they're not going to be in range to get one of the top quarterbacks this year. So you're you become hostage to your own success in the NFL because, you know, as you win and the players you like stick around, they all get big contracts. And especially the quarterback, once the quarterback makes that kind of money, you don't have money for everybody else. So guys start leaving, right? Some of your core guys start leaving. And I know they've had some head cases, and I wouldn't, you know, the drama, and you know, Antonio Brown's, and I don't know that that's on Mike Tomlin.
Juju Smith-Schuster, like with the whole on logos.
Come on, man. Really?
People
make a little
like,
too much out of that. It's a TikTok thing.
I mean,
Tom, do you even know what TikTok is? It's not a clock, my friend.
It's
an app. Okay? They do this thing, and they take, you know, everybody has, even the NFL, they have TikTok accounts. My girls watch it. It drives me nuts. They're always moving. They're dancing. It's like they got Tourette's. I don't know what's going on here, but I'm just saying.
It's when you look at this team, though, when you look at this franchise, don't you look at it? They seem like the four teams in that AFC North, they're heading in the wrong direction.
Well, that's because the others have been so lost for so long in the desert that they've come home to roost finally. Like, they're like coming back now. So, you know, hey, Cincinnati, where you been for the last 25 years? Hey, Cleveland. It was 0-2, not since they last won a playoff game like the Bucks. 0-2 since the Cleveland Browns were in a playoff game.
Yeah.
Okay, so hats off or hats backwards.
By the way, did you see the ratings? The ratings for that game in Cleveland? They had a 74 share.
That means everybody watched, right?
That means a 74 share means of all the TVs in Cleveland that were on, that 74% were actually turned on. 74% were turned on to that game. Like Super Bowls don't get that kind of numbers. They go to the Super, they outdrew the Cavaliers like in the finals, in the NBA finals.
Well,
if they were to go to a Super Bowl, it would be like the most watched thing in Cleveland history.
Yeah,
it'd be unbelievable.
Football is king, man, and I love those Baker Mayfield commercials. I'm telling you,
I do too. I love him.
I'm rooting for Baker Mayfield to be a good player so he can keep doing those Geico commercials.
I do think he's very. What commercial?
Or no, it's Progressive, right?
They're tremendous.
Is it Progressive? Tremendous.
I think so. They're tremendous commercials.
They're unbelievable.
He's really good in them.
He's deadpan serious.
Oh, by the way, we got some good suggestions. Did you see on our podcast last week? We were talking about Peyton Manning doing the sitcom thing.
Yeah. What did we have?
Yeah, you know, somebody came up with a really good suggestion for who plays the wife in the Peyton Manning sitcom.
And just so to fill people in, because we were talking about, like, Peyton Manning is so uber talented, like, he needs to do something now that he's out of football. And we've talked about announcing and the different things. And you settled on he should have his own sitcom. His own TV show, but a sitcom.
Plays the sort of the dad that's, you know, his teenage kids are always, he's like sort of the put upon.
He's like
dad.
The Archie to his clan. But like, we needed a TV wife, right? We needed somebody.
Somebody came up with a really good suggestion on Twitter. I saw Christina Applegate.
She's too old.
No, what do you mean? She's like his age. It's perfect.
Really?
Yeah. It'd be great.
Why do I think Christina Applegate is too old?
I don't think so.
Huh.
I'll check.
I'm going to say, let's do the birthday challenge because no one ever does that. I'm going to say.
Christine
Applegate.
She'll turn 50. She'll turn 50 this year.
Why did you just do this? I was playing the challenge.
What would you have guessed?
The judge just doesn't spit out the answer when you're trying to figure out the challenge.
I looked
up. You know what the birthday challenge is, Steve? Have you ever heard of it?
No.
Okay.
No, I was only the program director there for 2 years. I don't know what that is.
You don't just spit out the answer. You wait for us to guess, and then you tell us the answer.
How old's Peyton?
Peyton
is 44, yeah.
That still
would work. It would work. And I think somebody else said Lindsay Vonn.
I'd go, not an actress.
And the name of the show would be called My Trophy Wife, because his wife has all the trophies. I love that idea. I love that suggestion.
That's actually good. You know, she broke up with PK Subban, right?
Did she really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Gosh, don't you watch Entertainment Tonight, read People Magazine, anything?
All I watch is CNN and Fox News and MSNBC.
Come on, man. Turn on E.
I see Anderson Cooper in my sleep.
We also had the suggestion that the neighbor looking over the fence is named Brady.
Oh, for sure. That's a good one.
That is really
first or last name. Or you don't know. Yeah, you just call him.
You never know. That's right. You just call
it. Doesn't
like,
matter.
Yeah, it's like Kramer. For years, we didn't know it was Cosmo at first. Yeah.
Kramer, Cosmo. Yeah. That's a great one. I'm glad that people are playing along.
Yeah.
That's a.
So if anybody else has a better suggestion, who plays Peyton Manning's wife on our sitcom? But I like the Christine Applegate. That was a pretty good suggestion.
Yeah, I wouldn't have thought of her. Okay, so getting back to, you want to fire Mike Tomlin?
Yeah.
Is that the thing?
Yeah, I think so. I think the expiration date is up. I think the expiration date. I checked the. You ever see that commercial where they have a problem with ants and the woman and the ants going through the refrigerator going expired. I just checked his expiration date and it was like it was January 10th, 2021 expired.
They had a lot of injuries on defense.
They couldn't run the football
again. I think some of that was injury, but maybe
I was
stunned.
Weren't you though stunned, Rick, at how ill prepared they looked for that game the other night?
Well, it was horrible. Let me ask you this though: can we give the Browns a little credit? Like, have you seen the kind of
give him credit for Maurkice Pouncey hiking the ball over
Ben Roethlisberger,
James Conner looking at it like it was a bomb. Somebody else mentioned that. It's like, jump on that, would you?
Hello, that's the ball.
Kick it out of the end zone to get a safety. Like, both of them looked like it was a hot potato. Like, I don't want it. You want it?
I don't know.
And then Ben's throwing ball to the other team. It was the most remarkable stat line I've ever seen. Ben Roethlisberger threw for 500 yards, four touchdowns, and four interceptions. It was remarkable. It was just...
Well, I think they need some coaching changes, but not the head coach. I think they need a new offensive coordinator. They need something. But whatever.
They need like a bell cow quarter running back.
Yeah,
they had one. They had one who was actually, his name was Bell. But
right, Le'Veon. But what has Le'Veon done since he left?
Nothing. Yeah,
that was he did well with the Bills. I don't mean to say.
Real quick, since we're talking about other NFL, Doug Peterson. Were you surprised by that?
No. Actually, I mean, I think it's a bad idea, but you could see that there is a schism between him and Carson Wentz. Like, that's a bad situation. And usually the owner, in this case, I blame Lurie for all of it, but I think the owner got in the middle of that. And I've seen that happen in San Francisco with Eddie DeBartolo. Like, these owners get attached to quarterbacks for whatever reason, and you know, if the coach wants to go a different direction just to shake it up or there's some kind of personality clash, it almost, you know, so often the owner is like, no, we're going to make this work.
That's what that feels like. It happened there, right? Because it felt like if they were going to fire him because they didn't like the way their franchise was headed, they would have fired him a week ago. But it seems like they had a conversation where Lurie said, okay, we're going ahead with Carson Wentz, right? And Doug Peterson's like, no, I thought we were getting rid of that guy.
Right. Let's trade him. He's not going to be their guy, and I think that's usually where you have irreconcilable differences. And somebody's going to get a hell of a coach now. You know,
Steelers fire Mike Tomlin, bring in Doug Peterson.
Well, you know, listen. I mean, you're going to have to. First of all, it's hard to trade a guy like that because they're taking an enormous cap hit. No matter if they get rid of him now or some other time, it's just really bad for them. I mean, they're in a bad space. But I wasn't. I mean. I don't think you should fire a guy 3 years after you build a statue out front of it. How about this? Outside of the new Lincoln Financial Field, right?
Yep.
All the players that have been through Philadelphia, they finally win a Super Bowl, right? You got all these great players and all these coaches they've had, Andy Reid. The two guys that get a statue, okay, are Nick Foles. And Carson Wentz threw 33 touchdowns that year and got hurt right before the playoffs. Nick Foles and Doug Peterson.
Yeah. Amazing. So, Philly special, baby.
You know, there's a statue of Gruden inside the Bucks too. I guess the thing is here, you don't want to be a statue.
Yeah, don't be. Yeah,
I'm you know what I mean. Don't let no them statue. Don't let them build a statue, because exactly. Pretty soon that there'll be pigeons on it, and that's all. That's really all you are at that point. Oh my goodness, Tommy, what do we got going on? I would ask you what's going on, but actually everything's going on. The
and it changes by the minute, yeah.
Yeah, it does. I suppose we'll have I would say a peaceful transfer of power, but it's too late to say that.
Too late, yeah.
But what do you make of? I think I saw the other day where the thing about news, TV news, was CNN. You know, they do the live coverages of these incredible events and get cameras in places. I don't know how they do it. But was that the network everybody was watching when this attack was
going
on?
Yeah, actually, you know, it's funny. I did the ratings the other day. MSNBC, I think, had their highest rating week ever last week. And it was interesting how it broke down that MSNBC and CNN both had huge ratings. CNN's had the best ratings of all the pretty much since the election.
Okay.
Whereas Fox News, they were sort of running third for most of the last week, which was a little unusual. Now, their primetime lineup of Tucker Carlson and Sean Hannity and Laura Ingraham still pretty much kick everybody's ass at night. But not as much lately, and CNN's come on. And I think there's some other stations that are biting a little bit into Fox News's.
It seems like CNN's forte is like they do live things. Like if something's happening, you know, the invasion of Baghdad, for example, or whatever. But it seems like there's like a breaking, you know, everything to them is breaking.
Their resources, course, they have a little more resources. Their news department's a little deeper than everybody else's.
Is that
now,
it? Okay.
MSNBC relies on NBC News, and Fox News has a you know, they have a wide reach as well. But CNN, like their roster, the depth that they have, like with news is unmatched.
A big department.
So, yeah, that's why they
did. Anybody going to win an Emmy out of this? Is there anybody distinguished themselves as America's anchor here during this crisis?
Yeah, I think a lot of people have. You know, like I think everybody's done great. That's the thing I'm most impressed with. Like all the TV coverage on this, and I am. This was the other thing that I've thought a lot about lately. The competition these days between the Washington Post and the New York Times is remarkable. Like,
really?
The work that those two papers, and to a lesser extent the Wall Street Journal, but especially the Post and the Times are, it's just unbelievable how they're covering this, everything national politics.
They've hired a lot of people.
And COVID, too. Yeah. Oh,
they've hired a lot of people, and they made a lot of money.
Yeah, they have. Yeah.
Both papers because of subscriptions and all
that. But it's the work has been like incredible.
Well, check it out. Check out Tom Jones's work on pointer.org, O-R-G. And Tommy's going to join us tomorrow, right?
We'll talk a little bucks, right?
Yeah, and I got a little bucks and something else that you'll enjoy.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I'll be back. I'll come back. Now I'm
going to tell you what it is. I'll give a little, well, maybe I will give it. Yeah, I'll give
do,
a teaser.
We'll just leave it like that.
We'll leave it like that. Sounds right. Good. Talk to you tomorrow.
All right. Sounds good.
All right, that was so much fun. We're going to do it again. We'll be talking with Tom Jones, only this time it'll be Bucks at the Saints that we'll discuss for the NFC Divisional Playoff, which will be on Sunday night at 6:40 p.m. on Fox. For Steve Burstick, I'm Rick Stroud of the Tampa Bay Times. Have a great day, everybody.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.